Well, good morning, everyone. Right under the clock for morning, so I can get away with it. Good morning, everyone. My name is Leslie. I'm one of the pastors here, and it's good to be with you today. Thanks for joining us. Tomorrow kicks off our fun and summer excitement over at our Manhasset campus and continues all throughout the summer. We have over 150 kids who are eagerly awaiting our vacation Bible school fun that starts tomorrow, and it's called Maker Fun Factory. And the whole theme is for kids to learn that they were created by God and designed for a purpose. And so I'm excited of all that's the learning, the game, the excitement that's going to take place this coming week, and it's going to be a good time. So I'm excited to see how kids are deepening their faith in God. And so that same program actually is here in Syosset later on in the summer in July, and as well as a sports camp that we offer here for the kids in August, and lots of different sports and activities for the kids, and as well as biblical teaching that they experience too. Our Westbury campus is piloting having their own sports camp this summer as well, and that's in July. So you can see it's quite a busy time for children and for families here. You heard all that's happening for our youth, and so it's summer doesn't slow down. We want to engage kids and see them continually to connect with God. So please keep the kids, please keep our church in prayer, as there's a lot that goes on here in the summer. If you're looking for a place for your children or your neighbors or your nieces, nephews, grandchildren to be a part of, there's still openings in the upcoming weeks ahead, as well as if you're interested in volunteering and being a part of one of those programs, we have openings for you as well. So you can talk with me afterwards, or email me, or sign up online. Any of that is great, but it's a great time of the year, the summer is, so we're looking forward to that. Well, it's a well-known fact that mobile phones continue to collect more and more of our personal information. What's interesting, though, is most people don't realize how much is collected externally as well as internally. More stuff is continually being picked up externally. And so there's a group of researchers over at the University of California in San Diego who did a molecular swab test to determine how much they could find out about a user of a cell phone. They were able to determine the kind of lotion, shampoo, food you eat, soaps you use, whether you're a vegetarian or you like meat or you like spicy food, what kind of medications you're on, even what kind of fabric your clothing is made of. They were able to gather all of that information just from the external part of your cell phone. And so it made them think, like, how far in the past can I gather this information? It was able to collect up to 1 month old that they were able to use this. And so it made them a little bit hopeful in saying how much they could use or how much they could gather. And they started thinking about how this could be used for criminal investigations and airport security and other things that was needed to verify identities of people. You know, they were even able to say that a person, a user, was female, that they used a high-end cosmetic, that they dyed their hair, that they were on medication for depression, and that they like spicy food. All of that from the external part of your cell phone. And so they even said that they're soon to be able to say that they can take all that information from a swab test and build a user profile so that they can pick somebody out of a crowd. It's fascinating. But you see, everything that we do on earth leaves a visible trace that points back to our lifestyles. It doesn't take a team of molecular biologists at a university to tell whether you have an anger problem, or you cheat on your taxes, or you gossip about your coworker. Because if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you are a witness. You're an ambassador for him. Every action that we take on a day-to-day basis should leave a trace of how you follow and you believe in the power of Jesus Christ. You're a witness. You're a living testimony of the work of Jesus in your life. All through the book of Acts, which we've been looking at this past couple of weeks, all in the book of Acts, there are witness accounts of the power of Jesus at work in people's lives. Some of those people, they saw firsthand of the power of Jesus at work. Some of them saw firsthand and they gave witness to others around them. Other people had seen or other people had heard and the changed lives of those who were walking around them, albeit physically, emotionally, spiritually. They saw the change. Well, today we're going to read more of this witness account in the book of Acts. And most importantly, though, I hope that we leave encouraged and leave inspired to live as witnesses, to live as a testimony to the power and to the work of Jesus in our lives. Before we do that, let's pray. Dear God, we do thank you for this time together. We thank you for each person here in this room. We ask you, by the work of your Spirit, that you might teach us, encourage us, lead us, guide our thoughts, and guide our ability to hear from your leading and your Spirit at work in our hearts and our lives. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the witness account that we have that we can read and then see evidence of the work of your Spirit in people's lives centuries ago, as well as how it has an effect and the power to change lives today. We thank you and we pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, if you have your Bible, turn with me to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, and you can find this on page 1092 in any of the Bibles around the room. Acts chapter 3, and if you were here at the beginning part of the service, you read parts of that chapter, the beginning part of that chapter of Acts 3. And Ben also sang about it, which that was nice, country version of the scriptures. So the part we'll focus on will be on the screens, but just a little bit about what's happening here in Acts chapter 3 is that there had been a man who was disabled. He was crippled from birth, and so he every day would sit along the road leading up to the temple and beg for money. Well, here in Acts chapter 3, we see that Peter and John entered this area where the temple is, and once again, the crippled man called out to them and asked for coins. I'm sure he did that for every passerby. And so, but the difference, though, today is that Peter and John gave him something much more valuable than coins. Peter and John, because of the name of Jesus, because they believed in the power in the name of Jesus, gave this man his mobility. The man then could walk, he could jump, he could praise God. Well, the crowd gathered around what was happening. Like anybody, if there was some big commotion that's happening in the middle of a public area, everybody's going to press in and to see what's happening. And that's what happened here. And that's when Peter decided, well, I need to give an explanation to the miracle that just happened. And so this is where we find ourselves here in Acts chapter 3, starting in verse 12, is Peter giving the explanation to the miracle as this crowd stood by in amazement and wonder. So let's read here, starting in verse 12 in Acts chapter 3. You'll see parts of this on the screen, or you can follow along in the Bible. Peter says, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is in Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. Heaven must receive him until the time comes for God to restore everything, as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. For Moses said, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from their people." Indeed, beginning with Samuel, all the prophets who had spoken have foretold these days, and you are heirs of the prophet and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, "Through your offspring, all people on earth will be blessed." When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. This is an amazing sermon, and it's so packed full of truths from filled from Old Testament prophecies and everything else. But what we're going to focus in on today is because this message, this explanation is given in response to the miracle. So we're going to take the miracle and use the explanation to kind of work through what was the point of this miracle. What does the point reveal about it? This is in Acts chapter 3. This is the first miracle that happened after Jesus left the earth, after he ascended back to heaven. This is the first time his followers are performing a miracle without his presence here on earth. And so, again, this sermon that Peter gives, it's an explanation for the miracle, the healing of the crippled man. So let's take a look at the sermon in light of that miracle. And I heard recently the pastor in New York City, Tim Keller, explain that this miracle does four things. It points upward, it points forward, it points inward, and lastly, it points downward. So let's look to see how this is. So first, the miracle points upward. The miracle points upward. Look at verse 6. Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Peter uses the phrase here, "in the name of," in the name of. And what does "in the name" mean? What does "in the name" mean? The implication here is that when someone came in the name of that of another person, they, he or she, was authorized to represent the person they came in the name of. They were that person's representative. And so that's what Peter is saying here. He is a representative of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is the miracle maker. If you look back through scripture, or if you were to be present there and Jesus performed a miracle, you would never hear, you would never read an account of Jesus coming in the name or performing a miracle in the name of someone else. It just wouldn't happen. Why? Because Jesus is the miracle maker. He had all the power. He was the source of all the healing. But now Jesus is gone. Remember, he rose again. He ascended up into heaven. He's gone. So how do we know where his message, where his ministry exists? Where all the power that Jesus has, where does that exist now that he is gone? And so that's what this miracle demonstrates. This miracle points upward. So Jesus had given all of his power, he'd given all of his authority, his message, his ministry to his followers. And this miracle that Peter and John perform, it proved that they were Jesus' representatives. And the people in the crowd, they could see visible, walking proof that they were, that Peter and John were Jesus' representatives. Now, it's easy to get caught up in the fact of, do miracle, were there miracles? Is that real? Do miracles still happen today? You know, it's easy to try to build an argument whether for miracles or against miracles. And you can talk yourself out of miracles just the same as you can talk yourself into miracles. So that's not what we're looking at here today, because that's not the point. The point was to push everyone upward, to point upward to Jesus Christ. And, you know, in doing so, the apostles showed that they had the ministry, the power, the authority of Jesus. And so when we read accounts from the apostles, when we read the scriptures, when we hear what Jesus did through the work of those who followed him, we can have confidence that what they're doing, what they're saying is of representative is authorized by Jesus. And you can put your faith in the same message that the disciples carried with them as you can when Jesus was here on earth. So that miracle that Peter and James did, the miracle points upward to Jesus. Secondly, the miracle points forward. The miracle points forward. Recently, there's been a release of lots of superhero movies. I personally like the Avenger movies, Marvel Comics, DC Comics. There's people who are much more fanatics than I am, but I just enjoy, you know, like the good versus evil plots. And I've heard great things about the one that's out right now, Wonder Woman. And I look forward to hopefully seeing it. Sean and I can see it soon. So if you're feeling generous of heart and you want to babysit, just tell me afterwards and we'll go see the movie. These movies, all those movies are filled with extraordinary abilities of the characters involved, especially the superheroes involved. They have extraordinary abilities. But miracles are different. They're different because it's not a display of supernatural abilities. If that was the case, then Peter, for his miracle, he should have flown around in the sky, or, you know, had fire come out of his palms of his hands, or do something more amazing than heal a crippled man. If that was the point. Because you see, miracles, the reason for miracles is that they point forward. Miracles were all about alleviating pain and suffering and troubles. Look here on the screen at verse 21. This is what Peter said. Heaven must receive him, meaning Jesus, until the time comes for God to restore everything, as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. You see, in the future, God is going to restore everything. Whenever a miracle occurred, it was to point towards what God will do in the future. The proof of God's supernatural power is for the blind to see, is for the lame to walk, is for the dead to be raised again, and the list continues on. That is his power. At the beginning of creation, God made the world perfectly, but it was when sin entered the world, that's when the trouble, that's when the suffering, that's when the pain, the heartaches, the disappointments, that's when that entered into the world. So miracles, they're to point what God is going to do in the end of time. They point forward. Miracles also prove that God's no more happier with the world than we are. He's no more happier with the world than we are. He hates injustice. He hates pain. He hates suffering. He hates cancer. He hates death. Miracles point forward that one day creation will be restored. But up until that day, we pray for healing. We fight against injustice. We take a stand and we ask for suffering to end. We still do that because we know that God will one day do it in the end, but we want to see it here now too. We know that not everything or everyone will receive full restoration here on earth. That's a promise that will happen in the future. And it's also a promise that allows followers of Jesus to look at circumstances and situations that are terrible, to look on them with hope, and to know that one day all the suffering and all the pain, all the injustices will come to an end, and that your life will be restored. So the miracle, you see, points upward to Jesus. The miracle points forward to that God will restore everything. Thirdly, the miracle points inward. The miracle points inward. We read also in verse 6 that the crippled man was looking for money. But scripture records that Peter and John, they didn't have money, but they were going to give the crippled man what they did have. In other words, what Peter is saying, in my paraphrase, is, man, what you're looking for is far too small, and I have something so much better, so much more valuable than money to give to you. What you're looking for is far too small, and I have something more valuable than money to give to you. Because the man's real problem was not that he could walk. It's that he needed a relationship with God. You see, the man who had been crippled from birth thought that if only he could walk, if only he could walk, he would be happy. I think Peter should have looked him straight in the eyes and said, look at the people all around you who are walking. They're not even happy. Walking was not the problem. Look at verse 16. Peter says, by faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. Faith in Jesus is what ultimately healed this man. The miracle is what brought the man to the place where he could place his faith in Jesus. Miracles aren't just about pointing to a future restoration. They point to the fact that we are in need of a present restoration as well. We are in need of salvation that comes through faith in Jesus alone. There is a need, not just for the blind to see, but for spiritual eyes to be opened. Not just for the crippled to walk, but for broken relationships that exist because of sin that keep us from a loving God. For those broken relationships to be restored. There's a need for not just paralyzed people to come and have full life again, but for paralyzed souls to be livened again by the power of the Holy Spirit. Peter said that the crippled man was not asking for the right thing. He wasn't asking for the right thing. And maybe you sit here today, myself included, maybe we're not asking for the right thing. We're so quick to ask for financial stability or for our financial situation to change or for our physical healing to occur, for a career advancement to arise, for a relationship status to change, for a personal issue to be resolved. We're so quick to ask for that, but we're thinking too low, because what will actually satisfy you in all of life is not any of that, but it's the love of Jesus. You need to experience his forgiveness and his grace in a real and tangible way. A relationship with Jesus that comes only through faith alone. That's the only way that will give you what you need through life so that you can face those realities of suffering, of pain, of troubles, of heartaches, of injustices and disappointments. Now, there are some people here who truly are experiencing pain and suffering and are going through hard and difficult and truly terrible times. And I do not mean to belittle any of that, of what you're experiencing, of the hurt that you are experiencing. The message of the Bible is clear, though, in that the seriousness of sin is real and it's more painful and hurtful than anything that you will experience here on earth, because it's sin that separates us from having that relationship with the loving God. Sin is what keeps you from experiencing restoration here on earth, keeps you from experiencing freedom and forgiveness. Miracles point to the salvation that you and I need today. Well, miracles in Acts, that miracle points upward, it points forward, and also it points inward. Lastly, it points downward. The miracle points downward. In the Avenger movies, or really any kind of superhero fiction tale, the superhero's power makes them invincible and untouchable and larger than life. That's not the case, though, we see in the New Testament. Jesus and his followers, they performed miracles, and the result wasn't an exaltation or an exaltation of the person themselves. It was much different than that. The miracle usually brought punishment or ridicule or a consequence. Look here at verse 18. It says, this is how God fulfilled what he foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Jesus would suffer. In verse 13, it says that God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant, Jesus. Jesus, suffering, experiencing pain, taking the position of a servant. If you were to continue reading here in Acts and go into chapter 4, you would see that Peter and John were both thrown into prison because of this miracle. The miracle points downward. meaning the way in which to experience the power of God at work in your life is through weakness. The power of God comes into your life through surrender, through repentance, through a willingness to accept the results of being a follower of Jesus, because the reward is so much greater than the momentary pain we have here on earth. So if you want to be a pipeline, if you want to be a pipeline for the power of God to flow through your life, through your suffering, through your pain, through your trials, through all that happens in your life, if you want to be that pipeline for God's power to flow through you and into the lives of others around you who are suffering, then you will feel weakness. You will feel weakness. You will feel pain. You will experience disappointment. Miracles, basically meaning the power of God at work in your life, they point downward to service. They point downward to sacrifice. They point downward to surrender. Back in the fall of 2000, doctors diagnosed Ed Dobson with Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS, and this is an incurable disease. And so they gave him 2 to 5 years to live. And they said most of these years would be filled with probably a disabled condition. That's how you would live the remaining parts of your life. And so shortly after Ed was diagnosed, he wanted someone to come anoint him with oil and to pray for him. And he wanted someone who really believed in the healing power of God. And so he asked a friend, a Pentecostal pastor, to come to his house and to pray for him. And this pastor had regular healing services. And so he really wanted him to be a part of this process for him. And this is how Ed describes what happened when the pastor came to his life. Ed says, "It was one of the most moving evenings of my entire life. The pastor began by telling stories of people he had prayed for who were miraculously healed. He also told stories about people he had prayed for who were not healed and had passed away, receiving the ultimate and final healing. Before the pastor prayed for me, he gave me some advice. The pastor said, 'Ed, don't become obsessed with getting healed. If you get obsessed with getting healed, you'll lose your focus. Get lost in the wonder of God, and who knows what he will do for you. Get lost in the wonder of God, and who knows what he will do for you. Don't try to limit the power of God at work in your life.'" Miracles, they point upward. They point forward. They point inward. They point downward. But most importantly, know that you have the ability to receive healing from God here on earth. Hold to that promise, but know that your treasure is not necessarily the healing, but it's what you gain in the journey until the ultimate restoration happens in the future. I'd ask you now to close your eyes in an attitude of prayer and reflection. And I do this just so that you can focus in on what God wants to say to you, not to who's sitting beside you, not to the person in front of you, behind you, but what does God want to say to you? Just want to walk you through a series of reflection questions. In a few minutes, as Jerry mentioned earlier, you'll have a chance to respond by coming forward for prayer. And so here's the questions for you. There's some people here today that need to take your focus off of your problems and your pain and focus upward on Jesus. You need a refocus. Today we want to pray for God to take your eyes off the pain and onto the greatness of God. There's also some here today that need to focus forward. Your ultimate focus is on the restoration that will one day come to your body, that will one day come to your mind, that will one day come to your relationships and your troubles. There are some here today who have a genuine need for physical, emotional, mental healing in the present as well, though. You're in need of a miracle today. Our prayer team wants to pray for God to move in your life and bring about that healing. There are some here today that need to focus inward on your relationship with Jesus. Some of you have never accepted the gift of salvation and need to do that today. We want to pray with you to experience the freedom that comes only through Jesus Christ and through repentance. The Bible says that there's no need to wait. There's no need to go and get your life in order, that today is the day of salvation. We want to pray with you as well. There's some here today that need to focus downward. The path of following Jesus, it's not an easy one, nor one that's without pain. You're in need of the power of Jesus to flow through your weaknesses, to flow through your troubles, your suffering. We want to pray today for God to give you the ability to surrender to Him and allow His power to strengthen you today. Jesus, we are welcoming your presence by the power of the Spirit to work and to move into in our lives, whether we need to readjust or refocus or to change our perspective or to ask for by faith a healing in our lives and a family member's life and in a friend's life. We believe that, God, that you can do healings and miracles here today. We also believe that sometimes it's a future realization, but we go by faith. We stand, we fight, we pray, knowing that you desire the same thing as well. But we know, God, that you work through our pain, you work through our suffering, you work through our disappointments. And you want us to focus not on ourselves, not on the healing, not on what we do or do not have. You want, as Ed's the pastor told Ed, you want us to focus. You want us to be lost in the wonder of you, knowing that we cannot even begin to ask or imagine what you want to do in our lives. We don't want to limit you. We don't want to say this is the only way that we will experience restoration. This is the only way we will experience a miracle, a healing at work in our life. We trust you. We want to get lost in you, in the wonder of you, knowing that you will do a work in us, through us, around us, more so than we can ever imagine. We trust you, Jesus. We pray in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, again, you, in a few moments, I'm going to actually invite our prayer teams to come down now. Our prayer teams are going to be up here at the front. And we invite you to get out of your seat, to come forward as the music plays. We left time in the service so that you can have this moment or these moments to experience healing prayer in your life. And so when we start singing, if you would get up out of your seats and come forward and ask for prayer with someone with our prayer team, they want to pray with you. Also, during this time, we have three stations here at the front for you to receive communion. Everyone we invite to come forward and do that, to receive communion, because you see, the bread and the cup, they're representations of the ultimate miracle, the ultimate example of God's power flowing through a circumstance, a situation that seemed hopeless, when all the world seemed lost. When all the world seemed to be at the end, when it couldn't get any better, that's when God stepped in and says, I'm going to provide something for you. I give you my son. So the bread and the cup, they represent Jesus Christ, our example, our suffering servant who came, made himself nothing so that we could have a relationship with our loving Father. We ask you to take the cup and the matzah cracker, and if you need to receive prayer at the same time, you may take communion in the line, but if you don't need prayer, you can take the cup and to the matzah back to your seat, and there you will take the communion after you can say a prayer on your own, but you can take the communion on your own there at your seat on your own time. So again, when the music starts, when we start singing, we invite you to get up out of your seat, everyone, to come and receive communion. But for those who are in need of God to do something special in your life today, a miracle, we ask that you come and you pray and you speak to one of our staff, our elders, our prayer team here at the front. And we have plenty of time. Again, We'll wait for you who are in the balcony or in the gym. We want you to take advantage of what God is doing, what he's speaking into your life today. So let's continue now in worship.